Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the Papaya Podcast. I'm your hostess, trying her mostest, Sarah Nicole, and each week I'm going to be dishing out some sweetness mixed in with some seeds of wisdom or something like that. So get ready to get inspired, get candid, get real, because we are all in this digital space together.
I always feel like an ASMR account as soon as I get close to a mic.
That's how I am too. Like, oh God, I'd rather be doing this. This is way more relaxing.
Honestly, I like don't get it, the whole ASMR thing, and then I watch pimple popping videos to like fall asleep, and I'm like, I'm a different breed. I just think we all have like our different categories.
Either you're a pimple brain or you're an ASMR brain. I cannot watch the pimple videos. My mom is obsessed with
really?
Them. Yes, but like ASMR videos, I to this day will watch like slime videos before going to bed.
What about slime? Oh, with sound.
Slime, the like poking, the slime, the...
Those are still around?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, nothing on the internet deletes. I'll watch them from like 2018 when I had a slime account in like seventh grade.
Stop. I banned slime. Okay, first of all, let's welcome Ellie Zeiler is here.
I always do this. Yeah,
no, I love it. This is my favorite. But the slime was banned from my house. Gemma will remember this. She's in the room. But my son was playing with slime. And did he nap with it? What did he? He fell asleep with it. And it got in his hair, his bed. It was about $1,000 worth of damage. And we're like, I think we're done here. Like, I think I'm just capped
You're
out.
You're just, yeah.
On slime.
How old's your brother?
12. But at the time
but
it happened,
time,
he was,
it was
nine.
Like younger.
I'm thinking, like, when was the slime phase thing? Like, that was maybe 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, 5 years ago, I think.
Elmer's glue, I should have bought some stock in.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
I think about that a lot, actually.
Yeah. Elmer's glue really had like a moment there.
It really did. It was banned in my house when my brothers and I decided like to throw it at the ceiling and like.
Oh. Yeah, that would do
video.
It. So
yeah.
Thousands of dollars worth of damage
yeah.
to the home. Yeah, yeah, that'll do it. So you actually started making slime. I actually didn't know that. You started doing slime accounts. That was your introduction to social media?
SD Slimes, because I'm from San Diego.
Stop
yeah.
it. Did you grow a following?
No.
But
it was like
practice.
My seventh grade slime account, and I would like make slime with my brothers and sell it at school.
Oh
and
my
I think
gosh.
It got banned. Yeah.
Entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Since you just
day
started.
One.
So when you started doing TikTok and getting a lot of traction, that wasn't all that long ago.
Yeah, it wasn't.
When did it start for you?
I started social media when quarantine started.
Okay.
So it's kind of, I'm so used to saying like 1 year, 2 years. Now
yeah.
it's been 3 years
I know,
because it's
wild.
March. So I guess it was like exactly 3 years ago, which is very funny because like such an insane moment happened a couple of days ago where my mom sent me my first TikTok. She was like, this was literally posted 3 years ago today. Like it's been 3 years. And then right
yeah.
after that, she was saying something like, you have like this photo shoot to do today. And then you're filming this podcast. And I was like, oh my God, what is my life? This is
yeah.
crazy. Like watching the girl in the video 3 years ago to now, I would just like, it was a blur.
Well, it's such a fascinating time. So you would have entered the pandemic at what age? 14, 15?
I was 16.
16.
And now I'm 19.
Now you're 19. Oh, my gosh.
16 to 19, that is such a, like, developmental
time in your
life.
That's what I mean. Like, you merge that with, like, being on social media. It sounds like a perfect storm, but somehow it's worked for you. You're still here. You're still doing it. Do you love it?
I love it so much. I, like, genuinely, it sounds really cliche, but like I wake up every morning and I like people are texting me all these things I have to do, and like some people I feel like might find it overwhelming, which at times of course it is, but I like see those things and I'm like, thank you so much that I get to do this every day. It's like it's really, really, really cool.
Aside from the cool part of it, was there anything that was really surprising about having a career in social media versus like the version that you thought it was from an outsider looking in, and like just sort of the glamorization of it, stepping into the reality of it?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that like growing up, I always describe that growing up, I didn't grow up watching like TV or movies or things like that. I grew up watching YouTube. And so I was like, loved all of those OG YouTubers that I watched growing up. And I always thought that it seemed just like very glamorous, and I wouldn't say easy. Like, I think that I knew it took a lot of work, because even growing up, I would try to make my, I feel like we all did, but like I would try to like make my own YouTube videos myself. But I don't think I understood how much, and I don't think a lot of people understand like how it is like a full-time job.
Oh yeah. Like it is. And I always dance this line, because you want to show people that it is real work and that is a lot, because people will always say this line and it irks me, and I also get it because I remember it when they say a regular job, and they do it with quotations, like I work a regular job.
Yeah.
And this is like not considered a regular job. It's not even considered work in a lot of ways, but it's like it's a lot of, I mean, interestingly enough and also not surprising at all, it's a lot of misogyny in the sense that it's like, yeah, whatever careers that like women have will be like minimized to this like cutesy little, oh, that must be fun to show up for 15 minutes a day. And you're like, here's the 10 hours of legwork for that 15 minutes you saw.
That's so true. I actually dealt with that a lot with my ex-boyfriend, where I was constantly feeling like, oh, like you do your like cute little like work thing and I'm going to go like do this. And then like at some point I'm going to like take care of you. And I don't know. It's really, really hard, because you don't want to, like, it is such a great job, but you don't, it's just really, really hard to explain to people unless, you know, like, you're in it yourself.
And I've seen people try and explain it, and then they're sort of like, there's so much criticism, because it's brought with so much blessings. It's got so many incredible perks, and I don't mean to minimize that at all, but the reality is it also is, like, a very big job. What does a week like look like for you? Like, do you have it broken down to like certain things that you do within a week, or is it sort of like you're just riding this wave of like, here's what you have to do today? Like, what's a typical, when I say typical, I don't mean typical because I know it's not, but like general, what is like sort of a week look like for you?
That's a good question. I think it really depends. I like have things that I already have in place for my week. Like every day I like make TikToks, every other day I'll like take Instagram pictures, things like that. And then of course there's the meetings and the podcasts that are scheduled in advance that I'll like write out. And then sometimes there are trips. It is so, I don't know what's going on all the time, which is great because I have like major ADHD. And so I like when things are like jumping around all the time and I don't know what's going to happen. But I feel like I plan my day. I don't plan it in a week. Like, I plan it the night before is when I, like, really plan my day.
Oh, my God. I'm the same way.
Really? And like, I always can't feel think that like far
I'm,
in advance.
I always feel like I'm so behind the ball that I, like, literally look at the next day and I'm like, here's what you have to do. But if I plan too far ahead, I'm almost like, I'll psych myself out.
Okay,
like,
thank
I can't
you
do
for
it.
Saying that, because I've seen other creators that like they know how to plan their whole week and like plan their week of content. I'm like, for me it's like a morning thing. Like I like scroll through TikTok and I'm like, okay, that's what I want to do today.
So you don't even plan your content. You just like, I don't even know what I'm posting today or tomorrow. Do you have do you know what you're doing besides the stuff you're like scheduled to do? Do you know what you're doing?
I mean, I think for me it's a mix where it's like if I and like my mom, who's my manager, also helps me a lot with like being the outside person to like look at it from a whole. And so if I've posted like a certain amount of makeup videos, she's like, okay, it's time to switch it up and do an outfit. It's time to switch it up and do a cooking video. It's time to like, so I'm constantly switching it up.
Yeah.
But also it's not something that I like, I know people that like really can hardcore plan it. And I don't know why, I've just never been that type of person. It's also hard to plan like videos because you never know like how you're gonna feel that day, you know? And so if my makeup turns out bad, like I don't wanna make a makeup video, I'll do something else, you know?
Yeah, what's your favorite kind of content to make? Because I saw that you did cooking videos and I was like, oh, that's actually so cool, because I feel like, and it's not a negative thing, people niche themselves and it's awesome that you can have a channel where you're just like, this is what I do, this is what I talk about, this is what you can come to expect. And yours is a little bit more journalistic. It's a little bit more like just a larger balloon of like what's encompassing who you are. But what's like, if you could choose, okay, I'm going to niche myself into one individual thing, what would you go for?
That's really hard, because I think that like, I thank you for saying that, because I think I did that on purpose where I always said from the beginning, and I actually, no one knows the rules for TikTok and social media and things like that.
I think about it every day.
Yeah, I see videos that are like, you should put yourself in like one niche and like do one thing. And like for me at the beginning, I just thought it was more of like a grouping people in type of thing. Like, I'm going to make a makeup video, so I'll get like this amount of people that like makeup to follow me. And then the next day I'm going to do like golfing video and then get the golfers to follow me. And then at the end of it, it's like all these people come together, if that makes sense.
Yeah, smart.
I also think like as a person, like I get sick of things really easily, in the sense of like growing up, I would play a sport for a season and then I'd be like, I quit. I don't want to do it. I want to do softball instead. And then I'm like, no, I want to do this instead. I want to do this instead. And I was constantly jumping around. Mm-hmm. And so I've wanted to make sure that I never get sick of doing the same thing every day. And so that's why I kind of mix it in. But I think it's another cliche word. I'm just like a lifestyle. Like, it's just my life. Like, people will be like, oh, what do you do on TikTok? I get asked that every single day when people like ask me about it. I'm like, it's just me. It's just me as a 19-year-old girl that like it does a million things, you know?
Yeah, but I like that though, because it's nice to see that you have basically niched yourself in not niching yourself, in the sense that like you're allowing yourself to evolve, right? So if you change your mind on something and you're like, you know what, I actually hate cooking at home, I don't want to do it anymore, you have the choice to do that. And I think that that's actually like pretty smart for a lot of people to know and like think about when they're entering into possibly creating, especially with a young audience, being able to witness somebody who maybe is like evolving in real time into doing things. When your mom sent you that video from 3 years ago, were you sort of like taken aback by like how much change has actually occurred, not just like in how much it's exploded for you, but like how much you have changed through that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, she sent me a video from when I was 16 years old to being now 19, which is really crazy, because I get comments all the time that are like, you look different, or you sound different, or you're doing like, you don't, you're like, things are different. And I'm like, you guys legit watched me go through puberty. And I look at videos and not only and am I like, oh my God, why did I do my makeup that way? Or like, why did I decide to cut bangs when I was 16 or things like
that? Ellie, I grew up in like the 1990s. Do you know what we did? We had nothing. I just like, I sometimes I'm like so envious of people who go through puberty now, because I'm like, what you're awkward is like my life goal.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I would die for that. We had like, I remember we didn't really have like makeup palettes that were like available to us back then. Uh-huh. And I used to like use my mascara wand for like my eyeliner. It was like always blue mascara. It was so bad. We tweezed our eyebrows to like high heavens. Oh my goodness. What a time. But like, yeah, awkwardly growing up online is a whole other game.
Yeah. It's like, I look at videos and I'm like, why did I post? Like, I'm happy I posted it now. Like, looking back, if you look at it in the big picture.
Don't you love cringing at yourself though? Because that means that you've like
that
changed.
I grew.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, that's how I take it as well. Yes.
I always think it's funny when I look back on something and I'm like, I've been in social media or like blogging for 14 years, so I have a lot of cringe moments, but I'm also like, it's kind of cool when you see yourself be a hypocrite of yourself. Like, you would go back and be like, I would never have that opinion today.
Yes.
And that shows me that I've actually like worked on myself, or I've evolved towards something, or I care more about different things. And you have stepped into so many different spaces. I mean, you've talked about politics in an arena that most people are not talking about, caring about, but you've also had to face like a lot of scrutiny at a young age. What have you done to sort of manage
the pressure and like your mental health through all of this? Because I think like when a lot of people end up sitting down as creators, you sort of talk to each other like, I'm feeling a lot. Like, this is really hard. Yeah. It's really hard to deal with this, especially you're saying, like, if I post a golf video, I get, like, all these new people from a different arena. And sometimes you can land on what people call, like, the wrong side of TikTok or the wrong side of Instagram. Yeah. And it's real hard to sort of categorically shift that in your mind. And I'm 38, and I will still cry at the end of the day if something's, like, really shitty. How do you manage
this?
That?
Today I posted a little like workout routine app video, and all the comments I just checked are like, what abs? Like, what are you talking about?
Oh no.
And I'm like,
everybody has abs.
No, it's just not even like, well, like I'm not like a fitness creator, but
no,
I'm just
but you're
like,
allowed.
That's like, what? Okay.
That's so funny. My dad used to always say that he has a washboard abs, that there's just a load of laundry in it right now. And I always thought that was
funny. My caption was literally like, these lines will go away after I eat lunch today. Like, I'm literally just filmed. Like, I don't know. I just decided to film it. It's not that deep.
This show is actually made possible by our sponsors. They're awesome. They're people that I get to say yes to and that we get to align on some really cool things and share some really cool coupon codes with you. Today, I want to share with you about Hiya Health, because Hiya Health is a children's vitamin that is actually doing something a little different when it comes to vitamins. So Hiya fills the most common gaps that you'll see in a modern children's diet. So it's going to provide that full body nourishment that kids need with a yummy taste that they love. We hear this all the time. Kids will love it. So I took it to the test. I took these sugar-free vitamins for kids to my own child, and it's not a gummy, it's a chewable, and it's got no sugar in it. So I'm like, okay, how is this actually going to go? And I gave it to him and I was like, let me know what you think. He takes it and he goes, oh, this is really good. I'm like, yeah. And they looked at me and goes, can I keep these? Can these be mine? Can these be my vitamins? I'll be honest, the jar that they came in were really, really cool as well. And so I was like, yeah, that's awesome. I didn't really anticipate my kid being this excited about a vitamin, thinking it was cool, but like major win for mom. So Hiya is designed for kids of all ages, and it's sent straight to your door, so parents have one less thing to worry about. GMO-free, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, and everything else you can imagine. Formulated with the help of nutritional experts, Hiya is pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies, then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, and many others to help immunity, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and more. So we gave it the test. It was a win. If you want to check it out for yourself, we've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go straight to hiyahealth.com/papaya. This deal is not available on their regular website, so you go to hiyahealth.com/papaya, and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. Let's get back to the show.
Relationships are hard, and that's why I'm here. Hey friend, it's Cammie Crawford. Think of me as your big sister / audible BFF that you can always trust to give you the real tea. This is my show, Relationship, the advice podcast that covers all relationship topics, the good, the bad, and the straight up shitty. Need advice? Send your story to hello@relationshippod.com or DM me @relationship on IG and tune in for new episodes every Friday. Be sure to follow us and subscribe so you don't miss all the hot goss. And if you're loving the show, please leave us a review. Talk soon, bestie.
Back to your question. Sorry. Yeah, I think I just got to a point of being able to like open myself up on the internet. When I first started social media, I got a lot of hate just for literally everything that I was doing, which was really, really hard. And I think with that, I almost instantly went onto social media, something that like I'm supposed to be like closed up for. And kind of in the sense that like I felt like if I was truly myself and truly shared who I was as a person, and then I got hate on that, that would hit me a lot harder than posting a couple of years ago and like getting all this hate. And like on the inside, I knew like, you guys don't know actually like who I am and how I carry myself and how I treat people and like what I believe in and all these different things. And 3 years later, I think I've finally gotten to the point of being able to open up and like starting my podcast, I'll Be Your Sister, was a huge step in that direction. And like just a step in longer form content in general, that's really hard to like show who you are in a 60-second TikTok video.
Yeah.
And I think like that's even why I was describing it to you before we started recording, but like that's even why I wanted to not have it be filmed at first, because I feel like with social media, a lot of it is about your looks, and it's really hard to like say something and then watch back on the video and be like, oh, I looked bad there, and then have to restay it and like refilm it, and then it doesn't come out right, and like something's always going on. And so to be able to take that like look side out of it and just be able to like talk and really show people who I am. Also, the first season of my podcast, I didn't have any guests because I wanted it to like only be
smart
me and who I was, and like show people who I was finally after 3 years. So I think like I'm back to your question. I'm figuring it out every day, but it's hard. Like even today, like it's just depends on the day, really, if it's like gonna hit you or not, the hate or the people's opinions on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, you've amassed like over 10 million followers across platforms and everything. Is that the count now? Or is it over 10 million? Yeah. Like that's absolutely wild in such a short period of time. At such a young age. But I also think it all comes back to like your why, and you're sort of like getting that opportunity to share that a little bit more through your podcast or anything. But when you think about it and the day is like real hard, what brings you back to being like, and I'm still going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to do it again?
I think for me, it's showing like every single time I post content and I like get, I could get like 10 hate comments and I could get one girl being like, I really related to this and like this really helped me. And like for me, the number, I can't even like think about every time someone says 10 million to me, I'm like, no. It's only one teenage girl that's watching me that's like was bullied in high school just like I am, and like likes clothes and likes fashion and likes makeup and likes all the things that I like. That's like the only reason every day that I have been able to continue to do this is thinking about that one other person that I'm helping. And I think like with that, I've created a community of like one girl, but also, you know, there's more than that now, I guess.
There's like millions of them.
Yeah.
But that's amazing. Like that's such an impact. Do you see anything, like you said, you're coming back to podcasting. Are you going to have guests now? Do you think you're going to do some more solo stuff?
I think I'll continue with the solo stuff. I'm actually like legitimately was figuring that out yesterday with guests. I definitely think I want to bring guests on for sure. I love talking with people, so.
Well, yeah, and I find one of the best parts, well, you'll see, like, we're all in social media and our phones are down, face down, and when does that ever happen in any other time
of
life?
That's so true.
No, I think about it all the time, because I also struggle a lot with just, like, constant distractions and just, like, always being on the go of everything, and we're face-to-face right now, so it's a little, even better, but even over a Zoom call, you can just, like, when do you get to put your phone down and have a conversation with somebody eye to eye without any distractions and just have a conversation about their life? And I feel like I've learned more about who I am and learned about other people through podcasting than any other platform.
Yeah.
Like, I really think the power of conversation, and not just conversation, but just doing it in a space where people can't just respond and tell you what they think every 15 seconds. You have an opportunity to be like, this is what I want to share, and I'm going to put that out there, and you can listen or not.
It's so true.
It's really, it's, like
it's
a special.
It's really,
it kind of is.
Yeah, it really is.
It kind of is, but you get to know people on such an intimate level, I think, too, right? Like, I wouldn't get this experience with you from scrolling your TikTok all day. Do you know
what
I mean?
So
like,
true.
I would never get that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've never thought of it that way, but I like that perspective. It's very, very true.
So now your mom is your manager. How have you, you're now living on your own though, right?
Yes.
How has that been sort of like I don't know, I think about it. My kids are like almost at that age of like leaving the house, and that's like such a, how have you managed to keep the relationship great with like a working relationship with your mom, even as you've sort of like gone off on your own now? You're a little chicken out of the nest. No, chickens don't have nests. Do chickens have nests?
Coop. I don't know.
You're a birdie out of the nest.
Chickens out of the coop.
Okay, you're, I just called you a chicken in the coop. Yeah, okay. You're out of it now.
Yeah, really not that much has changed, especially with my mom and I's relationship. Yeah. We like genuinely call each other 40 times a day. Like there is never a moment where her phone or her name is not popping up on my phone screen. She also comes to visit me like every single week too, and I go down and see my family all the time. But it's been great. Like I am a very solo person. I really, really like being alone. I have never had a big friend group of girls, mm-hmm. and like never hung. I would rather spend like Friday nights alone or like with my parents than like go to football games or go to dances or go to like that in high school. And so it's been really great living alone. I really, really like it. But with that, I think like it's brought my mom and I think even closer, because we both have mutual respect for each other that like, distance is good for any relationship, in my opinion, you know?
Strong fences make great neighbors sometimes, right?
Oh, that's like, a good one. Yeah.
It's true, though. Like, if you have no boundaries and you're just there all the time. I love my mom, and I had to move in with her when I was 30 for, like, a hot second. And I was like...
How was that?
Oh, it was like, we just have a very different style of living. Like, such a different style of living. And she's just, like, keeps such a tidy house, and I'm a tornado, and then I tidy up afterwards.
Me too.
So it was so hard going back. I felt like 12 again, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh my god, I'm a full-blown adult, and now I'm like living with my parents, and this is so stressful. And then I would leave that space again, and our relationship would get stronger. But I also think like it does take like a certain level of effort on both sides. But what would you say, especially to somebody like me who is going to have to go through the experience of like kids leaving home and like wanting to create like good strong relationship with them, what do you think is something that your mom has done that's really created impact in building your relationship beyond her just being involved in your business?
I think her being able to, like, just listen. My parents always, like, tell me that and tell my brothers and I that, like, they're raising actual adults and actual people. Mm. And, like, just to, like, keep that thought mm-hmm. in mind where, like, sometimes I have to, when we're, like, in an argument about something, sometimes I have to, like, be like, you went through this as well. Like, you were 19 too, and you made bad decisions too. And then we, like, go back to that. But I think, like, communication and listening is really key. I know that's cliche, but, like, just being able to, like, listen and, like, take yourself back to that time where, like, you were your daughter's age. And I think my mom does that a lot, where she sees a lot of things from my perspective.
Yeah.
She also is... like, she stays up with the times. Like, my mom texts me, like, WID. Like, being like, what are you doing?
Or like, I was like, wait, what does that mean?
No, but she just, like, she genuine. I moved around a lot. And so I never had, like, the strongest relationships with girls from my school. And so, like, that always reflected, like, that relationship was always there with my mom. Mm-hmm. And so just... I continuing to talk every day is really important. Listening to each other is important, and just keeping perspective, I guess.
So I love that. And I think that's really great. I think a lot of people forget the whole reality of, oh my God, like we're not actually raising little people kids to hang out with all day. We're raising people that have to go and enter society and do something with their lives. And I always tell people whenever I'm like stressing about kids getting older, changing and leaving the house, is like the line in Finding Nemo where he's like stressing about Nemo being out there and like, I just don't want it. He says something like, I just don't want anything ever to happen to him. And Dory looks at him and is like, well, that's weird, because like then nothing would ever happen to him. Aww. And I feel like we're constantly creating environments in our heads where we're just like, okay, this, like, how do we get through this week and how do we get through this day? And like, I just want to get them here safely. And you forget like a huge part of raising kids is like raising people. Like you're raising humans for this world. And I think your mom's obviously done a great job, because you're in one of the... like mentally tough. It's a mentally tough job.
It's really, really mentally tough.
Yeah. You're like out there doing it every single day. Tell me about the name of the podcast, because that really fascinates me. What made you decide on that?
Well, I think it's pretty...
Because I'll be your sister, right?
Yeah, isn't that a cute name?
So cute.
Thank you very much. My mom and I created that one. Yeah. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Like, the name I'll Be Your Sister, I've always felt like, even with that, like, why do I do this every day? Why do I, like, wake up every morning and continue to post on social media if that means, like, jeopardizing my mental health or things like that? Because I have felt like a sister to so many girls and even boys out there that follow me. And, like, I always felt like, not necessarily that I wanted a sister because I have a really great relationship with my mom, but, like, I know my mom didn't have a great relationship with her mom, and she also was an only child and was always looking for someone that she felt like was her sister, and, like, especially an older sister now, where as I'm growing up, I, like, really everything that I'm learning, I'm, like, really taking into account, and, like, really I like to hash out and, like, share that with girls that are my age, older than me, younger than me. And I think just, like, the concept of a sister is, although I don't have one, I think it's, like, different than a friend, because I've just always been taught that, like, the only people that are always going to be there for you is your family. And, like, I am really, really grateful to have that and, like, have that be true with my family. And I know that some people don't.
Yeah.
And so to be able to, like, be that close with people and close to, like, people that listen to my podcast and be able to say, like, I'm your sister is the reason why I named it that. It also, like, goes with advice. Like, I feel like with a sister, you can talk about, like, a sister can give you advice, and a sister can also talk to you about, like, boys and relationships, but also, like, surface level things like makeup, but also you guys can make fun of each other and learn together. And
yeah, there's hard truths with a sister too. I grew up with a sister, and, like,
you did?
Oh yeah, she's, like, 18 months older than me, so we always were, like, a grade apart.
That's my age difference with my brothers as well.
It's tough because you're like, you grow up so close, and all you want is, like, some distance from them. Like, I just want a little bit of space. And then you get older and you, like, grow a lot more respect. But I agree with you. I think we're in a really weird time where friends can be so disposed so easily. I've talked about this before. Like, I've gone through actual divorce, and that was easier than going through, like, a friend breakup. Because friend breakups just don't, they don't require a consequence. They don't require a conversation at the end. They don't require anything. But, like, a sisterhood, it comes off differently. It means that you're willing to fight for things. It's meaning that you're willing to challenge each other on stuff. You'll talk about the boys and the relationships and the makeup and the clothes, but it has this baseline of, like, being
respect.
There.
And the respect. Exactly.
It's a different approach that I think I wish that there was more of that in terms of conversations amongst women and girls, is just, like, not having this type of friendship that it's very easily disposed, or that you could just
no
walk
one wants
away
to
from
fight for each other anymore.
Fight for, like, getting better. I remember, like, I got in a fight with a friend once, and at the end of it, I looked at her and I said, I'm so glad that we're the type of people that will fight for what we have, to fight to be better, to fight to understand each other. I think we look at fighting as, like, conflict and hate and anger, and women are constantly pitted against each other. It's drama. It's this. It's that. Again, back to, like, let's minimize everything that a woman does and mock it.
Yeah.
They make it so easy for us to hate each other. And the reality is, we're just humans trying to sort this all out. And when you have a moment of, like, I want to fight for you and I want to fight for this friendship, it changes things. And it also knows, like, there's a level of sisterhood that I think when you need time away, you have the respect to, like, say it or, like, have that conversation too, where you would never ghost a sister. It's not even allowed. Like, you couldn't. Like, they would just be there the next day, like, what's up, bitch? Like, get, like, we gotta go. We have to,
like,
keep going.
Yeah, we gotta keep it going.
Life keeps going, right? So I really like that approach, because I think the more you peel back the layers on, like, what that means, it's, like, really special. So
thank
you. I'm
so
excited
much.
To see where it goes.
Thank you. Me too.
So one last little thing, because I was thinking about this on the way here. A week ago, I was like, everyone has a weird thing. And I love weird shit. And the fact that you're like, I like being alone. I love it. You must have a weird thing. My weird thing is that when I pass, like, a raw noodle in the pantry, I will eat it like chips. Like, I fucking love that. And so I put it on my Instagram story. That's not that weird. Everyone looking, no. It's not that weird. I love a raw noodle. I think they're delicious.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, but listen, so then I go in my Instagram stories, I'm like, what is everyone else's little weird things? And the things I learned about people, I was like, we are all so weird.
Wait, what did you learn?
One person collects their cat's whiskers and, like, puts them in a little jar. okay, I heard that one and I thought it was weird. And then so many people confess that they do it.
What?
So many people confess that they also, there's some tales and like lore about cat whiskers like holding power. One person told me that when they brush their teeth or do their makeup, their foot is on the counter. Like on the, like literally up on the counter.
Like a stretch.
As they're doing it. Yeah. And then there was the people who are like, oh, I like pimple popping videos and stuff like that. I'm like, that's not that weird. We're looking
like
for weird
stuff.
No, I think we're all weird. This is my whole point. I think we all have these weird little things we do. And we all think it's like, I don't know. We're just like we don't celebrate it. We just celebrate how
but
weird
we
all
also
are.
Like even me, like cringy at that. Like who, literally who am I to judge you
whatever
for doing, like we're all
whatever
people.
And we're all a little bit weird. Ellie,
or a lot.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been great getting to know you on this level. And I'm excited to see what you do next. And I'm excited to see how you evolve, how you grow, how you become a hypocrite of your own self 3 years ago. And I think we should dig up some old slime videos. I think that'd be great, too.
Me, too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Thank you so much
next
for being here.
Next time I'll bring my nails. Yeah. Don't even
tell everyone where they can find you and tap into everything that you're doing.
Well, first of all, my podcast is called I'll Be Your Sister. It's on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And everywhere you can find me, my name, Ellie Zeiler. Thank you so much for having me. It's so much
thank
fun.
Thank you. This is great.
Yeah.
All right, everyone listening, I'll have it all in the show notes for you. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening all the way through this episode. If you've made it this far, I have one more little thing to share with you. Did you know that I actually have a photo and video editing app? So many people were surprised to hear that I have one, but it's actually been around for a little while, and you can join over 200,000 of the Papaya community by downloading my free app, Pink Papaya, on iOS. While so many apps focus on changing your appearance, Pink Papaya is all about celebrating yourself for exactly who you are and expressing your creativity and your storytelling with nearly 50 free filters and tools. Find us on social and share your edits as well. We might just share them too. So tag me as well at Pink Papaya App. Just had to share that with you, especially as the springtime's coming. We've got some really cool things happening in there and so much more coming. Check it out at Pink Papaya App. Thanks so much for listening and have a great day.
Well, friends, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to today's episode. For more information on this episode, check out the show notes or find us on Instagram at The Papaya Podcast. And if you loved what you just listened to or know somebody who would, please share it. Simply screenshot today's episode in the podcast app and share it to your Instagram stories. And don't forget to tag us. Last but not least, if you'd like to lend your personal support to the podcast, take a moment and leave a review on iTunes. We would be oh so grateful. Tune in next week for a fresh new episode of the Papaya Podcast, and we'll see you then.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.